Tonight we're continuing our series on the meetings of the church and how we should benefit from the meetings of the church. Last week we began talking about the preaching and teaching of God's word in our meetings. And I tried to show you what a central and important part of our meetings the teaching of God's word is. We quoted what is said in Acts about the first church in the world, the church in Jerusalem, and how the members of that church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They made it their business to listen to the apostles' teaching. They gave themselves to that activity. We read together from Paul's first letter to Timothy, out of all the different responsibilities that Paul laid upon Timothy, this was the most important. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. And again in his second letter to Timothy, Paul said this: I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. This is such a solemn command that Paul lays upon Timothy. You must preach the word. It's a constant duty, we said. You must do it in season and out of season. It's a very varied task, a very wide-ranging task that Paul lays upon Timothy. He must reprove, he must rebuke, he must exhort, he must teach. And it's a task in which he must exercise the authority that's been given to him. Timothy has been called to be a teacher, and he must present God's word to God's people in an authoritative way that they may listen and learn. Again, we quoted what's said in Ephesians, where Paul lists out the different gifts that God gives to the church. And he talks about the need for pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The only way that saints will be equipped for the work to which God calls them is by listening to the pastors and teachers whom God raises up. So in passage after passage, the New Testament emphasizes the need for teachers in the church who will then instruct the members of the churches, shepherds who will lead the sheep to places where they can feed. Well, I said last week that I had a long list of practical points that I wanted to make, and actually since last week I've added a couple of extra ones to the list. I'm not going to tell you how many points I have because you will only groan. Whether we'll get through them all this evening, I doubt, but we may do. The first practical point is simply this: in the light of everything that we've said, we must cultivate a teachable spirit. If God has raised up teachers in the church, then it is the role of God's people to be teachable. We must be willing to be taught. We must be willing to listen and to learn. James says this in his letter, chapter 1, verse 21, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Receive it with meekness. Receive it humbly. Don't resent the fact that there are some people whom God has called to be teachers and that he's called others to be learners. Don't resent it when those teachers say things that you don't like, that you find it hard to take. Receive with meekness. Be teachable. That was the first big point we made last week. And then we moved on to the more practical issues. The first of those was that we must prepare ourselves before we ever come to a meeting. And we talked about such practical matters as getting a good night's sleep on the Saturday night, or taking a nap on the Sunday afternoon. But one way or another, making sure that you are awake, making sure that you are fresh enough to listen and learn. We talked about the advantages of looking in advance at what you are going to be studying in a meeting. If we are going through an expository series, then you know in advance what the next passage is going to be. So look at it in advance so that you're ready. We talked about getting ready the things you're going to need in the meeting. If you wear glasses, make sure you actually take them to the meeting. If you're going to take notes, make sure you have a notebook and a pen. Get these things ready. But beyond all these practical things, remind yourself before ever you set out for the meeting that you are going there to hear God's word. You're going there expecting the Lord Jesus to speak to you. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus is present in the meetings of his church? Do you believe that he loves his people? Do you believe that he wants to speak to them? And that he delights to talk to his people? Well, if you believe those things, you will set off to every meeting expecting to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, expecting him to teach you. And before you ever set out for that meeting, pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be there in the meeting. Pray for the Holy Spirit to rest upon you and upon the preacher. And then, point number two, we moved on to what you're to do when you arrive at the meeting. And again, some of the practical things you can do. The way you decide where to sit. We said that for people who are inclined to doze off if the room is warm and stuffy, well, make sure you sit by the window and open it if you have to. For those who shiver and can't concentrate because they find a room chilly, well, sit by the radiator. If you're hard of hearing, make sure you sit in the place where you can most effectively listen. But choose your place carefully. Choose a place where you won't be distracted. Go to the loo if you need to before the service begins, so that you're not having to leave and lose the thread halfway through. Settle the children. Make sure that you've got them under control before the meeting begins. There are practical things that you can do before a meeting to make sure that you're able to learn in the meeting. And then the third thing that we need to say is this, and it's just so obvious really. Listen and concentrate. It is hard listening. It is hard to keep your mind on what somebody is saying. There is no easy way of doing it. Some people think that if that there must be some there must be some preacher somewhere who's got the knack of keeping everybody listening all the time. Spurgeon. If Spurgeon were preaching here every Sunday, you wouldn't find it hard to listen, would you? Spurgeon says, it's a waste of time, my preaching in the afternoons. He says, because on a Sunday afternoon, when people have had a big dinner, they all go to sleep. He was talking about his experience. It is very difficult to listen and keep listening. But you have to do it, because otherwise you won't profit. For some of you, taking notes helps you to concentrate. I think probably taking some notes helps everybody. There are things that the preacher will say that you don't have time to think through when he says them, and you need to jot them down. Even if it's only a little mark in the margin of your Bible to remind you to think about that matter again. A preacher quotes Bible verses. You can't look up all the Bible verses he quotes, because if you do, you lose the next thing he's going to say. But you can actually jot down those Bible verses. You can jot down the references and look them up afterwards. It's worth jotting down the main headings at least. I don't think that everybody benefits from trying to write down everything the preacher says. Some of you find that while you're trying to write down the sentence, that you've missed the next three sentences, and you just get more and more lost and get more and more behind. It's not to everybody's advantage to write a full set of notes. But I think most people would benefit from making some notes, even if it's just the main headings, even if it's just the texts that have been quoted, even if it's just markers on important things you need to think about again. That's part of concentrating. I take it for granted that you'll have your Bible open to the passage. If the preacher is taking you through a passage, that you'll have your Bible open and that you'll be following it, and that when he says, now look at verse 15, that you are able to look at verse 15. One way or another, you've got to keep on track. One way or another, you've got to keep concentrating and learning. The next thing to say is this, our beatings are of different sorts. And in some of them, the teaching is done in quite a formal way. I'm standing here tonight at the front, and I'm talking to a fair-sized congregation. Most of you will not feel free to interrupt me. It has happened, but it doesn't often happen in a Sunday meeting. But on a Wednesday night, we have a more informal meeting. We're just a circle of folks sitting together. And yes, Jeff or I, we're leading. But in that sort of more informal context, it is perfectly appropriate for people to ask questions if they need to. If there are things you don't understand, well, don't just sit there feeling lost and confused. ask questions. Paul takes it for granted that Christians will do this in their meetings. He says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says that where you've got married women, it's probably best they shouldn't ask questions, because it could seem like an insult to their husbands. He says, you know, really, they should go and ask their husbands at home rather than showing him up in public. But he takes it for granted that others will ask questions. Of course, you have to do it appropriately. You have to choose the right moment, interrupting the speaker when he's in full flow halfway through a sentence isn't usually a good idea. You wait for a point where there's a break in the flow, and it can be done naturally. And it may be that when you do ask your question, the speaker will say, well, I'm not going to deal with that now because we're going to be dealing with that issue later. And you accept that graciously. But do feel free to ask questions. No Bible teacher worth his salt wants people to sit there completely baffled. The Lord Jesus welcomed questioners, didn't he? Read through the Gospels and you find that in situation after situation, the Lord Jesus listens to questions. And then he answers those questions. He uses the questions as a jumping off point for the next thing he needs to say. Paul was constantly answering questions. He even builds the questions into his letters. If you read through, let's say, Romans chapters 3 and 4, you'll find that every few verses he inserts a question. Questions that other people have asked him down through the years when he's been teaching, and to which then he gives the answer. Don't be afraid of asking questions. My next point is simply this, and it's so central. Look for the Lord Jesus in every sermon. Look for the Lord Jesus in every sermon. Paul tells us, or he starts by telling Timothy, preacher Timothy, he tells Timothy how Timothy is to use the Bible. He says, every scripture is given by inspiration of God and is useful. He says, from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the great function of the scriptures beyond all others, to lead us to Jesus Christ. It would be a poor sermon if there was nothing about Jesus Christ in it. Now, it may be that the preacher is dealing with a part of Scripture which is full of nitty-gritty little things, like the Proverbs. It may be that he's dealing with long narratives or genealogies. It may be that he's giving practical points about how to listen to a sermon. But somewhere there in that sermon, surely he must be saying something about the Lord Jesus. Haven't we said something about the Lord Jesus tonight? Haven't we talked about how he's present among his people? Haven't we talked about how he loves to speak to his people? Aren't those wonderful truths about the Lord Jesus? Whatever else you take away from a sermon, take away something that you can feed your soul on. Something about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the bread of life. You can't live as a Christian. You can't be satisfied unless your heart is set on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as you're listening, maybe much of what you're hearing feels dry to you. Maybe much of what you're hearing, you're thinking, I can't see the importance of this. I can't feel the relevance of this. But then, the preacher says something about Jesus Christ. And you say, well, at least I've got that. At least I can go home and think tonight about the fact that Jesus is the bread of life. Whatever else you find in a sermon, hear something about Jesus Christ. And if you don't, if you've been through the whole message and you've not heard one word about Jesus Christ, then go and tell the preacher afterwards. Go and say to the preacher afterwards, you starved me tonight. I came here wanting to hear something about Jesus Christ, and you didn't say a word about him. And I trust that if you ever say that to me, I'll go home and I'll repent. Because the preacher's first task is to tell people about Jesus Christ, about the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Don't let a preacher get away with starving your soul. Don't let him get away with robbing Jesus Christ of his glory. Look for Christ in every sermon. But then my next point is this. Beyond that, look for at least one point in every sermon that you can apply directly to yourself. Look for one point at least that is directly relevant to you. Do you remember what Paul says to Timothy in that passage we've quoted? He says, all scripture given by inspiration of God, yes, it will make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He also says it's useful for four things. For teaching. For rebuking. For correcting. For training in righteousness. Well, that gives you an agenda, doesn't it? As you're listening to preaching. Is there something I've heard tonight that I've learned? Scripture is useful for teaching. What have I learned tonight? Is there something I didn't know before that now I have learned? Scripture is useful for rebuking. Is there something where I've been shown that I've been sinning? Is there something where Scripture has rebuked me and that now I must repent of? Scripture is useful for correcting. Is there something I need to change from this day onwards? Scripture is useful for training in righteousness. Is there something I need to start doing? Something I need to build into my life that wasn't there before? Don't just sit there thinking, oh, this is for fine sermon, if ever you do hear a fine sermon. Ask yourself, what is there here that is relevant to me? What must I learn? What must I repent of? What must I change? What must I put into place in my life? What must I give thanks for? What must I worship God for? I have to admit that there are times when I've listened to sermons and at the end I haven't been able to point to anything specific like that. I thought to myself, well, what have I learned? And I thought, well, nothing really. I mean, I think I knew already all the truths he was preaching. Is there anything specific I need to repent of after hearing that? Well, I can't think of anything. I mean, is there something I need to change? Well, no, I can't think of anything. Is there anything I've realized now I must put into place? No, I can't. There are those sermons where afterwards there isn't anything specific. Don't despair if that's true. Don't worry if there's nothing specific. The fact is that listening to real Bible preaching, there won't always be anything specific. But what is happening is that you're being moulded. That as you just listen week after week after week, ideas are soaking into you. And the tone of your life, the tone of your thinking is being shaped. And your personality, your character is being transformed, even without your being aware of it. Maybe you've listened to a series of sermons on the greatness of God. And the preacher has preached to you about God as the infinite creator, about God's majesty, about God's purity, about God's wisdom, about God's goodness, about God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may be that you've not actually, there's been no particular truth that you weren't aware of before. You've not learned anything in that sense. It may be that there's been nothing particular that's come home to you that you need to repent of or change. But as you've listened to those sermons, your whole view of God has become bigger and grander. And you're worshipping him now more earnestly and more reverently and more lovingly than you ever were. Yes, look for something specific in every sermon that you can put into practice. But if you don't find it, don't worry. Believe that God can still be shaping you through the preaching of his word. My next point is this. Put into practice what you have learned. Where God has shown you particular things that you need to repent of, where he has shown you particular things that you need to change, where he has shown you particular things that you need to put into place, do it. Listen to what the Lord said to Ezekiel, great preacher. This is what the Lord said to Ezekiel. As for you, son of man, your people, the people who listened to him regularly, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. People love to go along to listen to Ezekiel preaching. And they used to encourage one another, come on, let's go and hear what the Lord is going to say through Ezekiel today. And they come to you as people come. And they sit before you as my people. And they hear what you say. But they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act, their heart is set on their prophets. And behold, you are to them like one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. People loved to go along and listen to Ezekiel preaching. And they sat there and they listened entranced as he preached. And they said to him, isn't he wonderful? Doesn't he preach wonderfully? And he never thought of doing anything about it. Because as far as they were concerned, he was just a great performer. They listened to him the way they would have listened to a pop star singing a love song. It's great. great performance. Wow. But they wouldn't dream of going away and doing anything. They didn't expect to be changed by what they heard. To change the picture, to use a different picture, you know what James again says in his letter, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. A man looks in a mirror and he thinks, I'm looking good today. Or he looks in a mirror and says, bad hair day today. But either way, that's just his face. Goes away and forgets. Not expected to do anything. James says you look into God's word and it's supposed to be a mirror in which you see yourself as you really are. And you see things that need to change and then you go away and you do them. You change. It was the Lord Jesus who said, a man who hears my word and doesn't do it is like a man who builds his house on the sand. And when the wind comes and the wave comes, then it sweeps away that house. He says, but a man who hears my word and actually puts it into practice is like a man who builds a house on a rock. When do you do your reviewing? Listen to sermons? Sit through Bible studies? You hear about things that need to change in your life? Is there a point then when you sit down and you review what you've heard? And you ask yourself, have I put it into practice? Do you do that on a Saturday night? Perhaps on a Saturday night, you look back on what you heard the previous Sunday. You've had a week to think about it. Have I put it into practice? One way or another, we have to review what we've heard and to ask ourselves, have I actually done anything about it? My next point is this. Whatever you've heard from God's word in our meetings, pass it on to someone else. The Lord Jesus said, freely you've received, then freely give. Pass it on to somebody else for the good of their soul and for the good of your soul. Become a preacher yourself. As you've preached, as you've listened to God's word preached, pass it on to someone else. You're writing a letter to a Christian friend. You heard something on Sunday that really helped you. Then talk about it in the letter. You know, we heard a really helpful message on Sunday. It was from... And then give them up. Give them one or two of the points from the sermon. You're talking to a Christian friend over a coffee during the week. And you say, I meant to tell you. God really touched me on Sunday. We were looking together in the meeting at such and such a passage. And it's never really struck me before. That, and you pass on something of what you've heard. Simple rule, isn't it? That if you've been blessed, you share your blessings with others. If you've learned, you pass on what you've learned. I'm told that the reason the Dead Sea is dead is because there's no outlet for it. Sea of Galilee, water flows into it and water flows out of it. So it's fresh. But the Dead Sea, water flows into it and then there's no way for the water to go out of it. So if the water just evaporates away in the heat and the salt level gets higher and higher. If you want your soul to benefit, then what you've learned, you pass on for the blessing of others. My next point is this. Do feed on God's word during the week. Meditate on what you've heard. Listening and learning in the meetings is only the starting point. Think of it this way. What we are doing is giving you a meal. In our meetings, we put food in front of you. And hopefully, you eat it. You take it in. And then you go away and you start digesting it. So the meetings of the church are your main spiritual meals during the week. You've got the rest of the week to digest what you've heard. And you do that by meditating upon it. Blessed is the man who meditates on the law of God. And on God's law he meditates day and night. Most of you hear three messages from God's word each week. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, midweek. Well, each of those meals could last you for 2 days. You could meditate on the Sunday morning message on Monday and Tuesday. And you can meditate on the Sunday evening message on Wednesday and Thursday. And you can meditate on the midweek message on Friday and Saturday. That was the way that the first Christians had to use God's word. Most of them couldn't read or write. They couldn't study the Bible for themselves, but they could listen to what was preached in the meetings, and then they could go away and chew it over and turn it over in their minds and turn it into prayer. Feed on God's word during the week. Feed on what you've heard in the meetings. Next point. Catch up with what you miss. In our church covenant, we promise that we'll be at the meetings whenever possible. But it's not possible to be at all the meetings. And so there is some of the teaching that you will miss. But do catch up on it. If you miss a meal, well, then you'd better catch up on your food. That's why one of the reasons we have the church website. So that what you've missed, you can catch up on. So that you've not lost out on what others have got. My next point, this. And this is going to be my final point for tonight. Accept that you're going to hear some bad sermons. Accept that you're going to hear some bad sermons. I'm afraid that some preachers are bad preachers. They're just not very good at the job. They do their best, but they're not very good at it. There are preachers who are impossible to follow, who just ramble on, and they are utterly confused. And their messages have no sort of structure at all. And their sentences go on forever and ever. And you get lost halfway through the sentence. There are preachers who are completely confused. There are preachers who are contentless. you listen to them, and at the end you think, what on earth was he saying? I heard a lot of jokes, and I heard lots of funny stories, and I heard a few cliches being thrown around, but I don't think there was anything solid there. I've heard preachers like that. I remember one preacher who, and I'm not exaggerating, spent the first 25 minutes of his sermon explaining that he preaches through an awful lot of material very quickly, and so there's no point in you trying to take notes. And he took 25 minutes to say that. Well, I'm the sort of preacher who really gets through a lot of material in a short time, and so I don't think there's any point in you taking notes, because I can give you a handout afterwards to summarise what I've said. You see, I'm that sort of preacher. I'm the sort of preacher who gets through a lot of material, and I try to cover an awful lot of ground, and so I'm not going to expect you to take notes. And he'd spent 25 minutes saying that. There are some preachers like that who are just completely contentless. There are some preachers who are downright boring. There are some preachers whose voice and whose manner is almost impossible to you can't stay awake through it. There are some preachers who just get an awful lot wrong. You sit there and you think, oh, groan, that isn't what that verse says. He's got his exegesis way off. There are preachers who aren't very good at it. Sometimes you'll listen to them. Even the best preachers, though, are going to preach some bad sermons. Spurgeon preached some dreadful sermons. I was reading one of his sermons, and he was obviously embarrassed himself at how bad it was. And he gave all sorts of reasons why he'd had such a bad week and why he'd come out with such nonsense. But every preacher preaches thoroughly bad sermons at times. And even very fine preachers, very gifted preachers, go through bad patches when their own souls are barren. And when their preaching does go dry. And it may last for months, or in some cases years. Accept the fact you're going to hear some bad preaching. But even then, expect the Lord Jesus to speak to you. Look for something. When you're listening to one of those dreary sermons or those confusing sermons, be crying in your heart, oh Lord Jesus, please don't let me go from this place without hearing something from you. And if you really want to hear something from the Lord Jesus, he won't disappoint you. Maybe it will just be the passage that the preacher read and which he refers to again at some point in the sermon. And you think, well, even if I can't get anything else out of tonight, God has used that man to remind me of that passage, and I'm going to meditate on that passage. And if this preacher, if week after week you can see that he is struggling, that he is going through one of those bad patches, oh, commit yourself with renewed determination to praying for him. Oh God, you put me in this church, and that's the man you've appointed to teach me. But oh, I can see he's finding it so hard. Oh God, please help him. Oh God, please give him new vigour and new life in his preaching. Accept that you're going to hear some bad preaching, but still love the preacher and still look to the Lord Jesus to speak through him. Oh, if a preacher is simply preaching heresy, then there'll come a point where you'll just have to leave the church. If a preacher really isn't preaching God's word at all and isn't making any attempt to preach God's word at all, then leave the church. But if there's a preacher who, to the best of his ability, is seeking to preach God's word to God's people, then stand with him and gain what you can from his preaching.